If you'll please turn your Bibles to Psalm chapter 1, our reading for verses 1 through 3. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth its fruit in a season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does not shall prosper.
Hope you still have your Bibles open there to Psalm 1, because that's where we're going to begin our study this morning, is Psalm 1 and those verses we just read. You know, when we think about the purpose of our sermons, when we think about the purpose of the lessons that we partake in every time we're here, whether it's the preacher standing up and giving us a lesson or we're sitting through a class, what is the reason why we have those lessons? Why do we study like that together? Well, partially, it is for those who do not know Jesus. It's for us to be able to teach others who are visiting here, maybe for the first time, to be able to hear the gospel, to know who Jesus is, what he did for them, what he wants for them, and how they can respond to him and accept his grace. But maybe a bigger part of it, considering who is here and that most of us have been baptized into Christ, maybe a bigger part of why that we study together, the purpose of our studies is to help those of us who are Christians to remain faithful, to go to heaven, to stay on that straight and narrow, and to be able to encourage one another to do that. And when we think about the topics that we usually study, when we think about the things that we usually talk about, when we think of what Jesus talked to the church at Smyrna about in Revelation 2:10, when he says, "Be thou faithful unto death, and you will receive a crown of life," when we think about fulfilling that challenge that Jesus gave them and us, what do we usually think about? What are the things that we typically bring up and how that we can remain faithful? What we can do to help ourselves remain faithful? Well, you know, first one that comes to my mind is always study. We need to study the Word of God. And, you know, that's obvious and that's very, very good. We know we need to study the Word of God to remain faithful because that's where faith comes from. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10:17. We cannot have faith without knowing the Word of God, so we cannot remain faithful without remaining in our study within it. We need to continue to study it because as life changes, as we grow in life, we face new challenges in life, we need to continue to search within the pages of Scripture to find God's answers to those challenges, and rest assured, every answer is there. Well, also, what else do we talk about? We talk about prayer. Prayer is another thing that we talk about that is so very important for us to have in our lives in order to stay on that straight and narrow, in order to stay faithful. In fact, Brother Crowley is doing a fine job bringing that to us in a series of sermons on Sunday mornings about prayer and Sunday evenings as well. And, you know, the importance of our prayer lives cannot be overestimated, can it? You know, we cannot say enough about how important our prayer life is. You know, I think that it could be made a direct correlation between the strength of our prayer lives and our faithfulness to God, our spiritual strength. So prayer is certainly something very important. We also talk about fellowship. In helping ourselves to remain faithful and to stay on that straight and narrow, we also talk about fellowship. And again, fellowship is extremely important. Our fellowship with our brethren is extremely important in helping us to remain faithful and in order to help us to remain strong. Like Galatians chapter 6 brings up the fact that we help bear one another's burdens. The Hebrew writer said in Hebrews 3 and verse number 13 that we need this type of fellowship daily. He said, "Let us exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin." We also might think about 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 20, where John said that if we do not love our brethren, we cannot love God. Well, what does that have to do with fellowship? Well, brethren, if I love you, if you love me, if we love each other, aren't we going to want to be with each other? Nod your head this way. Of course we are. We're going to want to be with each other, right? And we're going to make each other stronger by being with each other. So fellowship is definitely something that we need to talk about, and even more so that we need to participate in order to stay strong for the Lord. Now, I got to thinking about this, and there are some other things that we do talk about together as how we stay strong in the Lord, but I got to thinking about this a while back, and I had to ask the question. I started asking the question, am I missing something? Is there something else that I need to be doing as a Christian that will help me to remain strong, because I'll admit to you, as I'm sure we all would, there are times that I'm not strong. There are times that we sin and fall short of the glory of God. John says, if we say we have no sin, the truth is not in us. So we all need to make sure we're doing everything we can to remain strong. And I asked myself, you know, am I missing something? You know, I know it's very different than the way that the rich young ruler said it in Matthew 19 and verse number 20, but I felt just like him. Lord, I've kept these things from my youth up. What lack I yet? Is there anything else that I can do to help myself be a better servant of yours? And then I read Psalm 1. I read Psalm 1 and verses 1 through 3 that we just read, and there was this word that stood out, and that is the word meditation. Notice what the psalmist says there in our scripture reading, Psalm 1, verse number 1, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. You know, I admit my experience is limited. And I also admit my mind, my brain, my memory recall is very, very limited. So I may just be remembering wrong, but I don't remember ever hearing a sermon on meditation. I don't remember ever sitting through a class on meditation. I don't remember ever studying this topic in depth myself. But here it is, the Bible talking about meditating on the Word of God. And this is just one of many places that we could go, Old Testament and New, that talks about meditating on the Word of God. And you know, the psalmist doesn't just mention meditation here. He doesn't just mention meditating on the Word, but if we look at it, he shows there are many benefits in meditating on the Word of God here. He says in verse number 1, this man is blessed in verse number 1. But then notice verse number 3. He says, not only is this man blessed who meditates on the Word of God day and night, but he also says, but he is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. He shows us here that the one who meditates on the Word of God, he is purposeful, he is planted, he is provided for, and he is prosperous. That sounds like a sermon in and of itself right there. Maybe you ought to do that one of these days. But he says that all of these things, the purposeful person, the planted person, the provided for person, and this prosperous person, this is all going to the fact that this one meditates day and night on the Word of God. Now that begs a question. At least for me, that begs a question. As I read this and I see all these wonderful benefits of meditating on the Word of God, I've got to ask myself, well, how do I do this? What does it even mean to meditate on the Word of God? And maybe even more so, why don't we talk about this more? Why have I never studied this? You know, meditation is not something that's mystical, magical, and it should not be foreign to us. You know, secular scientists and secular doctors say that it is actually something that you and I should be doing every single day. And according to some medical articles that I read, it says that regular meditation actually gives you improved attention and energy. That meditation actually gives you some very similar effects to caffeine, but yet without the terrible side effects. It also gives you improved memory. You know, I actually read in some medical journals, it says that brain surgeons have found that the structure of the brain of people who meditate daily is actually different from those who do not. The part of the brain that centers around attention and around memory is actually thicker on people who meditate. I can't remember exactly what they said. I forgot, because I don't meditate. But it says that meditation counteracts the age-related loss of brain volume. It lowers blood pressure, improves immune function, decreases pain, stress, and depression, and it also improves our rest, because 20 minutes of meditation is actually equivalent to at least a 1.5 hour nap. Now, friends, who doesn't want all that? I look at that and I say, well, wow, what am I been missing out on? Because it all sounds pretty good to me. And friends, if we could just gain one of those physical benefits, not to mention the many spiritual benefits that we're about to read about that are even higher in value, don't you think it'd be worth investigating what this means? Don't you think it'd be worth investigating what it means to meditate on the Word of God and how to do it? Well, this morning, I'd like us to begin a study. of purposeful and biblical meditation. I'd like us to talk about what it means, why we should do it, and even some methods of how that we can meditate on the Word of God. And so by doing this, by studying how that we can meditate on the Word of God, maybe, just maybe, we can be like this man here in Psalm 1. We can be blessed by the Word of God. We can be purposeful in where we are. We can be planted and firm. We can be provided for by the living Word of God. And we can be prosperous in all we do for the Lord. So I'd like us to begin talking about meditation within the Word of God and what that means. But first, I want to dispel some myths. I wanted to dispel some myths about what meditation is. Now, I'll admit to you, as soon as I hear or think about the word meditation, I'm thinking about some little dude, bald, sitting on the top of a Himalayan mountain wearing some orange robe and sitting crisscross applesauce and going, that's not meditation. Well, it may be a form of meditation, but that's not what we're talking about. And we don't have to sit crisscross applesauce or whatever they call it these days. I called it Indian style, but apparently that's not PC. But we don't have to sit that way or anything like that to be able to meditate. It's not just for certain people in Eastern cultures. It, in fact, is for everyone. And I know we typically, when we think about meditation, we may think of people in Eastern cultures, or we may think of young millennials in yoga pants doing this sort of thing, but it actually transcends all cultures throughout all of time. And in fact, we'll see from the Bible that meditation is something that men and women of God have done from the very beginning. So it is not just something that is for certain people of certain cultures, but it is for godly people in all cultures. It is something that we can all practice and do. Number two, some people believe that meditation requires that you're able to completely blank your mind and clear your mind of every single thought. That's not the type of meditation we're speaking of. And in fact, I'm not quite sure that it is actually possible to clear our minds of every single thought. Because I'll admit to you again, when I thought about this topic of meditation, I thought to myself, there's no way I can do this. There's no way I can do this because I have a lot of trouble clearing my mind and blanking my mind. I know that's a shock to some of you, but I have a lot of trouble clearing my mind of all these other thoughts. But really, it's a myth. We do not, in order to meditate, and especially the type of meditation we're speaking of, you do not have to clear your mind of every single thought, because there is a medical term for those who have cleared their mind of every single thought. It's called DEAD. But the truth is, according to, again, some medical journals I read, and I don't know how they know this, but our minds actually process 75,000 different decisions and processes every single day. And it is actually physically impossible to stop thinking about everything. But meditation is a clearing of the mind, but maybe it is focusing on one thing. Maybe it's focusing on the moment, focusing on the passing of time, focusing on the sounds of nature, or in our case, it's going to be focusing on the Word of God. Remember Psalm 1 and verse number 2 again. He says, in his law does he meditate day and night. See, biblical meditation is just a clearing of the mind of everything else that might distract us and detract from our experience with the Word of God. It can be done at any time, and it can be done anywhere, as the psalmist here points out. We also remember like places in Genesis 24 and verse number 63. It says that Isaac went out into the middle of a field to meditate at night. We also read in Psalm 63 and verse number 6 that David says that he meditated during the night and even while he was on his bed. Psalm 119 and verse number 97 is a verse that is very reminiscent to Psalm 1 and verse number 2. But in that verse, the psalmist says that he loved the law of God and he meditated on it all the day. So again, meditation. Meditating on the Word of God is something that we can do nearly any time and anywhere. And really, hopefully, it's something that we are already doing. We may just not realize it yet. Remember from 1 Corinthians chapter 11 when Paul talked about the taking of the Lord's Supper. You know, Paul, in that context, stressed to us the importance of being able to clear our minds of every single thing except one. and that is focusing on Jesus, focusing on his sacrifice. And if we are partaking in the Lord's Supper in the way that God, through Paul, commanded us to do, in a way we are, in fact, already meditating on the Word of God. So, friends, we need to understand this is something we can all do. This is something we can do at almost any time and anywhere. And it is something that has great benefits for the mind, the body, and the soul. And so I'd like us to begin our journey into talking about purposeful meditation by looking at Joshua chapter 1. Go ahead and take a look at Joshua chapter 1. This is a familiar text for us all. And I want us to see what God said to Joshua here. Now, this is after Moses had died. Moses has died, and the people of Israel, they are drawing near to the Jordan River, about to cross into the Promised Land. And of course, Moses had not been allowed to lead the people of Israel into the Promised Land because of his transgression. And now God has appointed Joshua as leader over Israel. And God here in Joshua chapter 1 is giving some instructions to Joshua about what kind of leader he needed to be and how that he would have to be as a man, as a leader, to lead these people into the Promised Land and be successful. There's two words that keep on coming up over and over within this context. Both God and the people of Israel, in their encouragement to Joshua, use these words. And these words are, be strong and of good courage, or be very courageous. And certainly, you see that in verses 6 and following. We'll read that in a moment. But certainly, Joshua, he needed to be strong. He was going to have to be very courageous because think about the task that he had been given. Not only was it just an enormous task to fill the shoes of Moses, to succeed Moses, who is quite possibly one of the greatest leaders this world has ever seen, save from Jesus at least. But now he's been given this task of leading this mass of people across treacherous countryside to direct them in battles, to keep them together, to keep them, most importantly, faithful during all of this. That in and of itself is a very, very difficult task that Joshua has been given, and let alone the fact that we know that these people were very apt to complain and very often rebellious. He had a huge task ahead of him. But let us take note of the words, starting there in verse number 6 of Joshua chapter 1, that God gives to encourage Joshua. And let us see what he tells Joshua he needed to do to be successful. He says, be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law that Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Did you see that? God gives Joshua this command with basically an if-then statement. He says, if you do this, if you, and meditating on the word was part of this command, if you do this, you will be able to be careful to do all of what God says to do, you will be prosperous, and you will have good success. Now, isn't that what we want? Isn't that what you and I want? We are on a journey just like these people here in Joshua chapter 1. We are on the way to our own promised land, are we not? We've wandered in the wilderness just like these people did. Remember they did for 40 years? We have wandered in the wilderness of sin, but yet we came to Jesus. Jesus cleansed us from our sins. We've been taken out of that wilderness, and now we are at the brink of the Jordan River. We are now waiting to cross over into that promised land, and we have battles to fight, and we have treacherous journeys to take in this world. And what's going to keep us strong? What's going to keep us of good courage? What's going to keep us faithful? Just like he says to Joshua right here, meditating on the word of God day and night. So friends, what can we learn? What can we learn about meditation here this morning? What can we learn about meditating on the word here just from this very short passage? Well, a couple things I want to point out. Number one, meditation requires knowledge. Meditating on the word of God requires knowledge. You know, if we're going to be like Joshua and meditate day and night on the word of God, we have to know it. We have to study it. You know, I find it very, very interesting. If you turn back just one book in your Bible to the book of Deuteronomy, specifically to Deuteronomy chapter 17 and verse number 18, where God is giving Moses instructions for the kings of Israel that he knew eventually would come. He's given Moses these instructions on what they were to do with these kings, what was going to be required of these kings that would eventually be set forth over Israel. And you know what one of those commands was? He says, for all the kings over Israel, they were all to, with their own hand, write a copy of the law for themselves and to keep it with them. Why? So they would know it, and so they would follow it. I think it would be an interesting thing to know how many of those kings actually followed through with that, looking at their track record. But they were to have in their own hand a writing of the entire law for themselves. Leaders have to know the word. And we cannot meditate on the word unless we know it. And friends, we are leaders. It doesn't matter whether you are a babe in Christ or somebody who is experienced within the word. We are all leaders in our own right. We lead as fathers and mothers, grandfathers and grandmothers. We lead our families to heaven. We lead in the world. Jesus said, you are a light unto the world. A city set on the hill cannot be hid. We are a light unto the world. We are leading the world, showing the world what true Christianity is. And we need knowledge of the word of God from our own studies. Not just from studies like this where we're all together, but from our own studies so we can meditate on it, contemplate what it means, and contemplate how that we can lead by it. It requires a knowledge of the word of God. And I am very certain Joshua was well versed. Number two, meditation on the word of God not only requires knowledge, but it also requires purpose. We need to have a purpose in mind. When we meditate on the word of God, we need to have a goal in mind of what we want to accomplish by that thought process, by that meditation. Look at verse 8 again. See, Joshua was told there in verse number 8 that he should meditate on the word day and night so that he would be careful to do all of what God commanded. In other words, the purpose of his meditation was so that he could focus on and follow through with God's commands. You see, today our meditation within the word of God needs to be purposeful. It might be for the purpose of gaining strength through a trial. We might read and focus on and meditate on very encouraging verses, like 1 Corinthians 10:13, that says that there is always a way of escape for every trial, and that God is faithful to us. We might think about Hebrews 13, talks about how that God will never leave us nor forsake us. When we need encouragement, we might meditate on those verses. It might be for the purpose of gaining wisdom to make a decision. You know, as Peter pointed out, and also Paul in 2 Timothy 3, there is no situation that we can get into in life and for which the Bible does not have instruction. In other words, there is no question we can ask, there is no situation we can come into for which the Bible does not give us an answer for what we need. We can meditate on certain verses to help us gain that wisdom to make a decision. Or it might be that we need to meditate on different verses to calm our minds from fear and anxiety. We might choose Philippians chapter 4, which says, be anxious in nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving in your heart, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding shall guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We need to have a purpose in mind for our meditation. And we need to use the word of God to accomplish that purpose. We need to have that in our minds. But then finally, number three, not only do we need to have a purpose in mind as we meditate, and not only do we have a knowledge of the word of God as we meditate on it, we also need to have our hearts involved. I believe that Joshua 1 shows us that, along with some other verses, that we should have our hearts involved in our meditation. There's some verses in Matthew chapter 12, verse 34, and also Luke 6 and verse number 45. You'll find those are very, very similar verses. Because these are both Jesus speaking about the same thing. And Jesus says in those verses that whatever is in our hearts, that is what will be manifested in our lives. Very specifically in Luke 6, 45, Jesus says it this way. He says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, so the mouth speaks. He says, whatever we have brought into our hearts, whatever our hearts desire, whatever it is that we ourselves desire, that will be manifested in our lives. Well, here in Joshua 1, God tells Joshua to meditate on the law so that he would not go to the right hand or to the left, but to stay on that straight and narrow way, to do as the Lord had commanded him and lead the people to success. Well, I submit to you that Joshua would not be successful in that. Joshua would not be able to do what the Lord is commanding him to do if it was not in his heart, if his desires were not behind the following and the listening to of God. Today, we need to make sure that we meditate on the Word of God. Think about it, ponder it, bring it into our hearts so that we can reap the benefit of those verses. We need to be able to say like the psalmist did in Psalm 119 and verse number 11, "Thy word is hidden in my heart that I might not sin against thee." We need to say as the psalmist did in Psalm 119 and verse number 97, "I love your law. It is my meditation all the day." And if we can say those things, we, just like Joshua, we'll know the word, we'll have it in our hearts, we'll meditate on it all the day, and we will make it to our promised land. Now in a few weeks, we'll continue to study about meditation. Hopefully we'll get into more examples in the Bible of those who did meditate on the word. Maybe we'll be able to see some more of the great benefits of meditating on the word of God. But let it suffice for this morning to say this. We all need to take the time to do this. We all need to take the time to meditate on the Word of God, to shut out all other thoughts, to shut out all other things, and to focus on what it is that God desires for us. We need to have purpose in our meditation, whether it's to overcome a trial, to make a difficult decision, or just to draw near to God. We need to have purpose in our meditation, and we need to bring the Word of God into our hearts so we may involve our hearts in our meditation, so we can be guided by that Word and rewarded in that obedience. Friends, I know this lesson probably leaves a lot more questions open about meditation than it actually answers. But my encouragement to you this morning is to take this as just the tip of the iceberg and to take what we've talked about this morning and let it spur on your own study. Let it spur on your own reading within the Word of God to see what meditating on the Word can do for you. I hope that you've at least been able to see some of the benefits that it can offer, how that it can help you in your journey to heaven. And now I hope that you will use what we've talked about this morning to help direct you in what you do for the Lord this week. But if you're a member of the Lord's body and you need some prayers this morning, we're here for you at this time. If we can help you in any way, please let us know. Or if you are not a Christian and would like to become one by being baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins, if you are willing to confess Jesus for this audience, we'd be glad to assist you in that. Whatever your need is, let us know as we together stand and sing.